This is the Behind Enemy Lines podcast on the Blood Red Channel, bringing you the inside track on Liverpool FC's next opponents.
Next up for Jurgen Klopp's Red Machine are the only side to take points off the Reds so far this season in the Premier League as Manchester United come to Anfield. I'm Guy Clark and this is Behind Enemy Lines here on Blood Red. United then making the visit to Anfield but with a different man in the hot seat to their last trip down the M62 with Ole Gunnar Solskjaer having replaced Jose Mourinho. Coming up then we'll be chatting all things United. If you can bear it, that is. We'll be finding out the feeling in the camp, where things are at off the pitch at Old Trafford, and whether or not Ole Gunnar Solskjaer is the man to turn things round. Joining us to talk about all of that and more is TalkSport's Manchester correspondent, Dom McGuinness. Dom, thanks a lot for your time. How are you?
I'm very good, thank you, Guy. Yourself?
Yeah, not so bad, thanks. And I suppose getting straight into it, looking at the table, Liverpool flying high at the top and Manchester United, it's been a bit of a tricky season, this first full season under Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, but the last few weeks it's beginning to come together, is it?
Well, I think there's a slight upturn, certainly in terms of positivity and optimism, but it has been a turbulent season and it's been a season that's really been a lot about one step forward and a step back, and a frustrating one really for fans who, as a whole, though, are still supportive of the manager. You'll still have some sections, some in the crowd, no doubt, that would say, well, I'd have Pochettino tomorrow simply because of the lack of experience at the top level that Solskjaer has. But others, because of his legendary status as a club, at the club as a player, very popular man around Old Trafford as well, that are desperate for Ole to succeed. So, you know, obviously time will tell. What happens in this January transfer market, what's left of it as well, will also be very telling. And then where we are in the summer. But I think overall there is goodwill towards Solskjaer on what's been a very difficult season.
Is that, you mentioned sort of the fan aspect there, and I suppose that was in full voice at the weekend, the win over Norwich City, but there were grumblings of discontent, albeit them not sort of directed at Solskjaer himself.
No, directed at the Glazers, the owners obviously, and Ed Woodward, who is above Solskjaer. In terms of the role that many fans are frustrated with, you know, a lack of transfer activity. You know, obviously Solskjaer brought in decent players in the summer in Wan-Bissaka, Dan James, Harry Maguire, you know, all three straight into the side. All three played a lot of football, a lot more football probably than Solskjaer, given that the younger two, Wan-Bissaka and James, would have probably bargained for. But injuries and one thing and another, you know, those two have been mainstays in the side. James has almost run his legs into the ground. You know, he's been a real success for a relatively small fee as well. So those signings were good and decent, but the fans want elite top-level signings. Now, of course, we know how tricky that is in January. If United aren't going to be in the Champions League come the summer again, that's a whole different can of worms altogether. But United fans want to see investment. They want to see, you know, a squad that competes. We look at this fixture at the weekend. It's a great example of just exactly where they are now. They could potentially be 30 points behind Liverpool. That's unthinkable to many United fans as well. So that's where they are at the moment.
Yeah, no, definitely. That gap, as you say, for those down the road, it would be completely unthinkable. Over this side of the fence, though, something to really rejoice about. But in terms of the rivalry, the context of the game, locally both have their derby matches that we know about. But traditionally, the competitive rivalry, this is perhaps the game of the calendar of the season to look for.
Well, it is without doubt. For if you ask United fans, and I'd probably say particularly Mancunian United fans, you know, they'll look for the Liverpool one. I mean, the rivalry between the two cities has been long spoken about. You know, obviously, forget the football, the two cities being so close together, very different culturally, if you like. They've both got very much their own strong identity, and yet so much in common as well as cities and as communities and everything else. But when it comes to the football, obviously no love lost. When you think of it as well, the football being so cyclical, back in the 80s, United are back to that kind of time again, when they're looking for the odd little battle win, not the war. And that's where United are now. United in the 80s, they could poke Liverpool in the games when they met. But Liverpool were just too good for United. Inevitably, they always won the war. They won the leagues. United didn't. Now, obviously, what happened, United's long period of dominance, they've now ahead of Liverpool in terms of league titles. But it's back to now, United just trying to jab and prod Liverpool, who look like they're going to have the season of all seasons. So, you know, it would be a massive victory for United supporters and for United if they can beat Liverpool at Anfield and stop them being invincible. that's a sad reflection in many ways, but that's where United fans know that the team is at the minute. It's just not anywhere near the likes of Liverpool and City and the way behind even Leicester. So, you know, this is the reality of the situation. It's a transitional period. We know all about that. The fans have got little time and patience as far as the board and Ed Woodward are concerned, but they do understand what Solskjaer is all about and they know what he's trying to do. Many just fear he doesn't have the top level experience. It's certainly nothing negative about the man himself. You know, he'll always be a legend in the fans' eyes, but there's just some concerns from some. Whereas other supporters are saying, let's stick with Ollie. Look what he's doing with the kids, the academy players. He gets the club. Got to stick with Ollie.
Yeah, I suppose the context of the game thing on that, it's one of those where the two sides and two fan bases are completely contrasted in terms of their hatred towards one another, and one of those when the fixture comes out, everyone marks it on the calendar immediately. But then when you get into the week of the game, everyone begins to get a bit nervous about it, and neither side particularly enjoy going to the other's backyard because they know they're in for a real hostile visit when they get there, as the United fans I'm sure will experience at the Anfield Road end this weekend.
Absolutely, yeah, but that's what the fans want, isn't it? That's what they love, is these rivalries and fierce. As long as it doesn't ever cross the line, you know, there is a line that should never be crossed in terms of with rivalries, we know that. You know, there have been, both sets of fans have let themselves down in the past with some of the chants, but if it's kept just the way you describe it, hostile, proper derby, you know, these are the two most successful clubs in English football history and the neighbours geographically. So it all adds to a brilliant rivalry, and it's an interesting dynamic. It's probably unique in the world in that, you know, both have big, strong neighbours, and yet both look to another city for their fiercest rival. You know, Liverpool and Everton. Liverpool fans, I'm sure, would still say it's United that they look for first, the one that they hate the most, if you like. And it's likewise in Manchester. United fans still, you know, look at Liverpool. They're still the enemy. City, obviously, now, with all the Abu Dhabi investment and the way that City are and the brilliance of Pep Guardiola and his team and what they've won. They are the kings of Manchester now in terms of what they can do on the field. No doubt about that. But, you know, obviously globally, Liverpool and Manchester United are in a league apart. And I think that's another of the factors that just pits them both together and will ensure that there will be an incredible amount of eyes on this match at the weekend.
Yeah, and of course, since Man United's last visit to Anfield, December 2018, feels a lot longer since then. United have obviously discarded of Jose Mourinho immediately after that 3-1 defeat. Liverpool have gone on to become champions of Europe. And now Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, the former player under Sir Alex Ferguson, who would have made that journey to Anfield so many times, is the man with, I suppose, the pressure on him bringing United, his United, to Anfield.
Yeah, but it's a pressure that he'll embrace. There's no doubt about that. You know, he will enjoy that. You know, he's a fiercely determined, ambitious man, despite the smile, and people still call him the baby-faced assassin, even though, you know, he's in his mid to late 40s now. But the point is, he gets the fixture. That's one thing you can absolutely have no doubt about with Solskjaer. Whether you're talking a Manchester derby or a Manchester United-Liverpool derby, he absolutely understands it. He's walked amongst his own supporters in Manchester. He knows the feeling. He knows what it's all about. He's played in those games. You know, he knows the ins and outs of the fixture. And so he's going to be excited about it. He's going to really be desperate to be the manager with his team to put that little dent in Liverpool's season, who are still going to have a majestic season. But, you know, if they can't be invincible, that's a minor little victory. And as I say, it's not where United want to be. Let's get it right. But it would certainly be something that would make the fans happy, and it certainly makes Solskjaer happy. So he'll walk into Anfield and really be up for the challenge. The players that I've spoken to about Solskjaer, other people that know him, ex-pros as well, you know, he is part of the Sir Alex Ferguson years in every way. He takes all his motivation, inspiration, and you know, his style, if you like, as a manager, all comes from Sir Alex. So if you like, you've got a mini Sir Alex walking into Anfield. And again, he's got a long, long way to go to match Sir Alex's achievements or the way that he used to handle these big occasions. But don't for one second think that he's going to find it daunting. I think he's going to love the challenge.
Now, I suppose that's a big thing, that mindset thing, because mention Mourinho when he bought Manchester United to Anfield, and it was very much about sitting in, frustrating those first two times that he came, nil-nils. They were awful games. United barely ventured out of their own penalty box, let alone their own half. I imagine that didn't sit too comfortably with the United fans, because even away from home, even at Anfield, there's a certain expectation they want to see, which Solskjaer certainly sort of seems to try and evoke and really believe in himself.
Well, yeah, and you know, United fans want to see a certain United arrogance, and United fans don't want to see their team go and obviously, you know, park the bus and think that obviously, if it can frustrate a team that's far superior, they'll take it on the day, but it's not where they want to be, clearly. They want to be doing what they did at the Etihad, you know, obviously a great game plan in early December to go to the Etihad, to the home of the champions, and to put on a show like they did, a brilliant example of counter-attacking football to beat City on their own turf. That's what United fans want to see. They'll want to see that at Anfield as well. Now, you could argue they're weaker now, again, with injuries since that derby game at the Etihad. But, you know, obviously they've taken points off Liverpool, the only team to do so, that at Old Trafford. So Solskjaer has a way of playing. He's played Jurgen Klopp's side twice. He's not been beaten on two occasions. This time it's at Anfield, which makes it a little bit different. But again, you know, he's going to have a game plan. He's going to go there and he's going to see what can be done. But you're right in that, you know, United fans will always want to see their side play a certain way. But they also are realistic as well, most of them anyway, to know that it's not a great squad at the moment. They can only do what they can do. But yeah, I'm sure Solskjaer will try and go about it the right way.
Yeah, he's often, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, ridiculed a bit on social media and people talking about his lack of experience, of course, having been in charge of Cardiff when they got relegated time before last they were in the Premier League. But I suppose with the squad that he's been left and how he's begun to change things around, there is an understanding that returning United to former glories is probably going to take some time, and therefore people don't seem to be sort of too quick to jump on the bandwagon of wanting him out. And as we said right at the top, the pressure sort of more on those above him as opposed to Ole Gunnar Solskjaer himself.
Yeah, it helps when you score the winning goal that clinches you the treble.
Yeah.
You know, it's as a player, he was an incredibly popular player, even though by his own admission, he always makes reference to it. He spent so much time on the bench, but an amazingly popular player who's come back in, and whatever happens, you know, he'll always be welcome back at Old Trafford. I can't ever see a time that he wouldn't, because fans want him to do well. It's that situation. And you mentioned Jose Mourinho before in terms of his game plan when he went to Anfield. You always got the sense, Jose Mourinho is a brilliant manager. I sat in front of him for every press conference, went to all the United games. He is a brilliant manager and he's unprecedented success. But Jose will think about Jose probably first. Jose doesn't want to be beaten. Whereas Ole, as he stressed again recently, that he's never going to take selfish decisions for himself. He's going to do what's right for the club. If that means him, you know, falling under the bus at some point, so be it. But that's the way he sees it. And, you know, he was quite clear in that. Whether you believe him is another matter, but he certainly seems very believable when he says that. So he's not going to buy players just to try and help himself out of a hole. He's only going to buy players for the good of the club. He's only going to make decisions tactically for the good of the club. And he's not going to just try and stink the place out to get results. That's his kind of the way that he thinks about it. But as I say, massive will for him to do well. Of course, there's some unease and some fear that does he really have the level of experience? Can he really attract the truly elite players, particularly as there's a big if and a massive if as to whether United can get Champions League football. So all these imponderables make it a tricky time for him. But the fact that he's promoted academy players again, always a winner. You know, Mancunians like Brandon Williams added to Mancunians like Rashford that were already there. Massive, massive tick as far as the fan base are concerned. So he's doing a lot right with the kids. Always a popular thing at United. So much made of the United Academy. There were always Academy players in United first team squads. And Solskjaer gets that more than anyone. And remember, Solskjaer worked at the Academy and with the reserves when his playing days were over. So all those lines of communication are still open. He came back into the club and knew everyone immediately, knew the players. He's known Mason Greenwood since Mason Greenwood, I think, was seven, training alongside Solskjaer's son Noah back at the Cliff in Salford. That's how far back he goes with a lot of these players. No surprise then that he trusted them and trusts them now and is giving players debuts.
Behind enemy lines on the Blood Red Channel.
Seems to have made Marcus Rashford his talisman of the team himself, obviously a youth product himself. But this year we have seen the emergence of Mason Greenwood, Brandon Williams, as you say, and Scott McTominay in the midfield, a guy who, again, I think Jose Mourinho gave him player of the year a couple of seasons ago after blooding him almost as a statement of, look, I can promote youth team players. But he again seems to have perhaps gone on a level that wasn't maybe thought he had under Ole Gunnar Solskjaer.
No, McTominay's been, it's such a shame with his injury, because he was an outstanding success, and one that really nobody could have predicted. You know, he was seen as a good, steady lad and a great attitude and everything else, and, you know, someone that's going to be wholehearted. But the way that he's actually commanded midfield, and the way that he's led the team as well, which is a key point, because United have been bereft of leaders for a long time. True leaders. I still think you've got to go all the way back to Roy Keane to have a true commanding leader in the middle. So McTominay was showing great signs of progress. So for him to get injured, allied to the frustration that is Paul Pogba and the story that'll never go away, but he hasn't added anything this season. He's been injured pretty much the whole season. So that's been a huge problem. But a great example again of Solskjaer sticking with youth and saying, no, you're good enough. You're good enough to get in there and lead. And it's some statement as well that, you know, Matic is a very poor substitute for Scott McTominay.
Yeah, certainly with the amount of money outlaid on him. You said before about the cyclical nature of football, and I suppose United and Liverpool as two clubs, sort of certainly over sort of the last 40 years perhaps of English football, really do personify that. And in terms of how United at the moment, thinking off the field, how whilst their success through the 90s and 2000s was under Sir Alex Ferguson, after Liverpool were caught up and then superseded, it seems to be the same's happening with United now. When you think off the field, how Liverpool have their house in order with technical directors, analysts and all of that behind the scenes, as do Manchester City. And United, there's been talk about a technical director of football for a good year, 18 months now, and still no one quite there to almost aid Ole Gunnar Solskjaer with what he's trying to do on the pitch.
Yeah, well, it's... The times obviously change and everything else. And in terms of Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, you know, obviously he has his own support network around him now. There are certain things that have been kept the same in terms of, you know, Michael Carrick coming through the Sir Alex years and staying on as a coach and you know, part of the new regime as well. And Kieran McKenna promoted, Mike Phelan coming back into the setup as well. You know, there's so much in terms of shades of Sir Alex Ferguson. So, you know, I think he's got a good team around him, good support network, but it is transitional. That's a word that's been thrown around all the time. Again, obviously mistakes that other clubs have made, like Liverpool, and lots of chopping and changing. United have been guilty of that as well. You know, nobody really wants to see that. Again, every single time you appoint a new manager, there's inevitably going to be a new backroom staff. And I think the waves of unrest that causes throughout the club is often underestimated. So I think a bit of stability, a bit of painful stability possibly, that's really the way that they've got to look at it. But you know, there are obviously positive signs anyway with players coming through. It's about adding some experience, guile as well to those young players. There's no doubt United needs strengthening at least three positions at least.
And on the game itself, in terms of the dangers United will pose, you spoke about the City game at the start of December. It does seem to be almost the blueprint that Solskjaer has set up in these away games. He spoke after the Wolves game saying, I played Liverpool twice, as you alluded to, I've not lost yet. We found a way of playing them that we think suits. And he, to be fair, his record does back it up in those big games so far.
Yeah, I think the problem with that is, as Jurgen Klopp worked out the way that Ole Gunnar Solskjaer plays against his side, and he has the antidote to that. That's the thing that will worry Manchester United fans. But yeah, and you know, it's bold of Solskjaer to say, look, we've got a plan, we know what we're doing, because obviously it can all go pear-shaped. Liverpool are just too good, you know, and we know that, and again, the table doesn't lie. So can Klopp find a solution to the way that United have played in the last couple of times they've played? We wait and see. You know, Solskjaer, you know, he's been hit with injuries as well, and Rashford being a massive concern. If Rashford doesn't make it, that's a big, big problem. He's already lost McTominay, as I mentioned before. And, you know, again, he doesn't have the same personnel available to him. That may be an issue. But overall, I think if United are brave, and again, if they can somehow just tap into the tension of the occasion and the pressure being on Liverpool to remain invincible, even though there's massive pressure on United to try and close that gap on Chelsea in fourth place, It all adds a nice few subplots to the whole thing.
Yeah, talking of bravery, hostile environment and subplots, with no Marcus Rashford, as it seems as though he could be unlikely to play in the game, although we obviously haven't heard the final word on that at time of recording from Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. But Mason Greenwood's been a youngster who's been impressing and scoring goals. You just wonder this occasion if it's a step too far to throw him in from the start, or actually something as a youngster and being fearless, it might actually suit him.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot will depend on Solskjaer's thinking about Lingard, more experienced. You know, he's not had a great time, but again, he's played in many big games, not just for United, but for England as well. He understands big occasions, and Lingard as well. You know, he's from Warrington. He's perfectly positioned, isn't he, to understand the rivalry. A big United man, though. So I think he might go that way. He might want to use Greenwood from the bench. Solskjaer knows better than anybody how to use a striker from the bench, him being that striker from the bench on so many occasions. And Greenwood has come off the bench and scored good goals, you know, as he did against Norwich at the weekend. So, again, either way, he'll think long and hard of that. I think mentally, Greenwood is ready for that occasion. I think he's very mature, and I think that he's been, you know, he's been hyped for a long time. People, United fans have known about Greenwood for a long time. He's been, you know, obviously he's been aware of his talent. So I don't think he has a problem like coping with that situation. I certainly don't think he'll shrink. I think it'll just boil down to whether or not Liverpool are far too good, whichever team United put out there. And that's going to be one of the key questions. But I think Greenwood is ready. I think Solskjaer's already tried to dampen down a little bit of enthusiasm for Greenwood as well, because people are talking about England with Harry Kane's injury and all the rest of it. He'll be hearing all this and reading all this. And Solskjaer, quite right, is probably just trying to think, look, steady on. He's got to be a regular for United before we worry about any of that. But I think, mentally and physically, yeah, of course, he's ready for it, should he be thrown in.
And just the final point on United and the context of this game for the season, obviously, you've got the match within itself, what a big spectacle that is, but 5 points off fourth place in the Premier League, we spoke about it right at the top, it does seem to be as though that is the number one objective for Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. He's blooding these youngsters, he's turning the squad over, but within that, at Manchester United, the need for Champions League football still exists.
Well, of course it does. I mean, the bean counters almost demand it. Of course, it's lucrative. They need to be there, but it's mainly, I think, a vehicle for attracting, you know, Europe's elite as well. I think that United, you know, they're not exactly going to be shabby payers. So players will move to United, whether or not there's Champions League football. I think it is harder getting the absolute top players, but United can still attract players. Money will still talk, but of course, it's a whole lot easier if you've got Champions League football to go along with everything else that Manchester United bring to the table. So that is a massive target. Of course it is, Champions League football, because they don't want to be playing in the Europa League again. It messes up the season. It's Thursday, Sunday, it's travel. There's often lots of far-flung travel. They've had to go to Kazakhstan already this season. It means you play about 150 extra games. It just seems crazy. So all of that, you know, in mind, then of course, yeah, Champions League is the number one target. But Solskjaer's desperate to win something. That's why he was so upset, obviously, by the way that his side capitulated to Manchester City at Old Trafford in the first leg of the Carabao Cup, because it's such a great opportunity to get some silverware. Managers need to win something. It's on their CV, you know, even finishing fourth, as we've seen with Arsene Wenger, it doesn't save you at the end of the day. And, you know, Solskjaer's not going to get that kind of time. So he wants to win things. And fans want that feel-good factor of days out at Wembley. The FA Cup's going to be huge now for Solskjaer. You would imagine the Carabao Cup has gone. But then, of course, it's top four. It's got to be done. United should not be languishing any further down than fourth in the Premier League.
Well, Dom, thanks a lot for your insight and know-how on United. Really do appreciate you checking in with us here on the Blood Red Channel.
Cheers, pal.
Dom McGuinness, TalkSport's Manchester man here then with us on Blood Red. Of course, post-game returns after the action to bring you all the reaction that you need from Anfield. Until then, though, thanks for your time and company here on Blood Red, and it's bye for now.
You've been listening to the Behind Enemy Lines podcast on the Blood Red Channel.